never done no such a thing.
Amen.
The Bible said man's the head of the woman.
Come on. Amen.
And together they hid the home.
Amen.
Amen.
Hmm. You don't believe that?
That's the
word. You husband wants to get in trouble? Go out and buy a car without asking your wife about it. The chain may be long, but it'll be long enough to put you in the doghouse. And that's where you ought to be.
That's right. Come on.
Well, come on, saints. How many of you husbands know that you better talk everything over with your wife? And how many of you know you better be in agreement? Amen. But how many of you understand? The woman don't make the decisions all by herself. But I want you to know God's not raising up no bunch of wimps.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. I've had to shift a lot of my thoughts. How many of you husbands have had to lay what you wanted to do on the shelf, wait for the wife to agree with you?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is for the single folks. This will help you to avoid pitfalls. Well, I said, well, now the pastor's the head of the church. Oh, no. Pastor is the set man of the church.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
And whenever you call the elders together, the leaders of that church, the bishops of that church. See, the church is not operating in divine order. They've got one bishop over a lot of churches, and that's not the way the book teaches. The book teaches a church with many bishops in it.
Amen.
Well, that's the word of God. I have five local pastors in our church. I've got five local bishops in our church. I call them pastors. I call them overseers, where the word bishop comes from. Well,
amen.
And if we have a meeting, and if one of them disagrees, I will tell them quickly, we'll just lay this on the shelf.
Amen.
Until we can come into total agreement.
Amen. Amen.
I've got three deacons, and they are in training that God can elevate them into elders.
Amen.
Their families have to be under subjection.
Amen.
They have to be faithful in their dealings with God's house.
Amen.
They have to be faithful in looking after the needs.
Amen.
Well, come on.
Yes.
Right.
Now, the bishops of the church looks after the spiritual needs.
Come on.
Amen. Oh, I still have people in that assembly that's holding back the growth because they will not accept these elders as myself.
Amen.
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 Now, we're laying down some real good stuff here tonight if you will accept it.
Amen. Yes.
There's only one vision in a local church.
Hallelujah.
And that's the vision of the set man.
Amen.
Or woman.
Amen.
And all the bishops in that church work under that vision.
Amen. Yes.
If you violate that vision, God will set you aside and discredit you from being a bishop.
Amen.
Well,
that's good.
But the word of the Lord has to be obeyed.
Amen.
And we need to understand that it's not tribulation, it's not distress, it's not famine, it's not nakedness. Or perils. No. It's your own ideology of wanting to promote yourself the same way Lucifer did. And that spirit is the spirit of Jezebel. And the first principle of Jezebel was control. You ever see a pastor that wants to control everything?
Yeah.
Amen.
Then they have the spirit of Jezebel.
That's right.
And the next qualification of that spirit is killing the prophets.
Right.
Why would they kill the prophets? They are not prophets if they prophesy good things concerning Jezebel. Well, all right, I can't get in on that thought now too much. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And church, the church is being dominated by one individual voice. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if one of the bishops gets a word that they think is from God, and it's contrary to what the plan of God is, you don't jump on them. You just call a meeting and say, we're going to just lay this aside until it can be proven. Now, these elders and the deacons this year know that this is the way we operate.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. And I'm open and I want to hear everything God tells them.
Amen.
In fact, in the elders' meeting, I asked them, what God's been saying to you?
Amen.
And I'm doing that for a purpose.
Amen.
I want to know how they are thinking.
Amen.
And if God is speaking something to them different, I want to know it.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Now, let's get on down into these other 10 things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. You want me to close? You want me to go on? Huh? How many of you want me to go on with you? This is a word from God to you.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For I am persuaded.
All right.
That neither death.
Wait a minute. He didn't say how death was produced. If death comes by suicide, it don't separate you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Hallelujah. I said, if death comes by suicide, it don't separate you.
That's
That's the Word of God. And I can prove to you by the 11th chapter of Hebrews that it didn't separate Samson. And if he gets Samson get by with that, anybody else can. That God's a God that has no particular no respect to person, or just being particularly kind to one individual. Well, glory. Read some more.
Nor life.
Life cannot separate you from the love of God. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. In the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and you're hearing a lot of preachers, or I am, that's preaching errorsome doctrine, and they don't want to believe that you can communicate, or anybody that's in death can tell you anything. They get that from Jehovah's Witnesses, where it said the dead knoweth nothing. But I'm here to tell you the dead does know something.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Jesus called Moses, been dead 2,500 years. And what was Moses talking to him about? His crucifixion that was in the future.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Moses was a type of Christ.
Right.
I believe he was saying, glory, Jesus, you remember when I brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage? That we bankrupt the banks of Egypt?
Yes.
Then here comes the charismatics and said, oh, no man, nothing. And they make it a doctrine out of you getting out of debt. That's a good principle.
That's right.
But that ain't what God does. God told Moses, tell people to borrow.
Right, don't borrow.
Everything you can borrow.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The
prophet said the same thing. Go borrow.
Oh, yeah. See, When the widow woman was about to lose her children, the prophet said, go, I'll give it word for word. The prophet said, go abroad. Now, I don't think he meant go across the ocean. Come on.
Amen.
You see, there's different meanings to different words in locations. You folks word things different from what I do. And by my preaching, sometimes I have to have an interpreter. And when you talk to me, I think you need an interpreter.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Come on, saints. If I go up into Virginia, in the United States, and they go to saying, get oot and come into hoose. Then I go just a few miles down below Arnoldsville, where we live, and they talk mole and foe.
Amen.
Well, go up in Idaho. Oh, God, I got to get off of this. We call potatoes by different names.
Amen.
We call them spuds. Oh, glory. I'm just trying to break it down where you will see what I'm talking about. I remember, this will get a laugh out of you. In World War II, the first time I come to England, and I was in the Navy, and I was dating a young girl, beautiful girl, and I asked her out to dinner, and she said, well, I've got to get permission. Well, I said, who has to give you permission? Well, I'll have to go and knock up my mama. Good God, I like to faint it. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying? Huh? Yeah, they've been around me long enough, they know. But how many of you understand that is a no-no? As Brother W.V. Grant Sr., I raised the money to send him and Brother Culpepper to Africa. And he is preaching in Africa on this particular trip. And you know, we Americans have a slang language. Sometimes we use slang words. And he was using that. He said, don't kid yourself. You understand this now. The interpreter didn't. He said, don't get yourself with child, you can't hide it. But you see, God, oh hallelujah, God is desiring a people that will speak the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I'll repeat with what Brother Paul said. Bear with me a little in my folly.
Amen.
And you need to learn to laugh with them that laugh, amen, weep with them that weep.
Amen. Yes.
And rejoice when God's blessing somebody else more than you. Or you may be the next in line for a miracle.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But some of our people in the assembly at home, I said, I don't have no people. But God does.
Amen.
In the assembly. But they see how God's blessing me. And someone said, I ain't giving that preacher nothing. And I have to tell them, you ain't giving me anything. You're giving it to God.
Yes.
See, God knowed that spirit would come into existence. That's the reason he says, you give it to me. It's mine.
Amen.
Then when you put it in his hands, he said, I'll give it to the Levites. I'll give it to the ministry.
Amen. Yes.
And the only way you're going to be blessed. The only time in the Bible God said he'd multiply your blessing is when you bless ministry that does the sowing.
Yeah.
This assembly don't sow nothing.
Amen.
Our assembly don't sow anything.
Yeah.
We pay the bills.
Amen.
But if you want to have multiplication, glory. Have a Pentecostal handshake with the pastor once in a while.
Amen.
Explain what a Pentecostal handshake is. It put $100 in the preacher's hand and shake his hand. Nobody knows what you have done.
Hallelujah.
That's a denominational handshake.
No, they don't do that.
Denomination.
Denominations don't do that. Denominations wants everything to come into the church. Oh, glory to God. All you church members this year, I'm going to tell you how to get blessed. Amen. Give seed to the sower.
Amen.
Not to the church.
Amen, yes.
But to the sower.
Amen.
And then God says, I will multiply what you give.
Amen.
Not only that, but I'll add to your righteousness.
Yes.
My Father. I tell you, if you learn to pay tithes to Father ministry, it's going to open up the windows of heaven glory that there'll be not enough of room for you to receive what he's pouring out on you.
Amen.
That book of Malachi is wrote to Father Ministry, and it's a kingdom covenant that has not been fulfilled yet.
Amen. Yes.
Well, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it ends up with, I'm going to bring an Elijah company in existence that's going to turn the heart of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That day is coming.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Come on, that day is coming.
Amen.
And you might as well get used to it. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm blessed.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm highly favored.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So are you.
Amen.
You, some I see in the spirit, some of you are going to walk into such bountiful blessings.
Yes.
They're not going to be room enough to receive.
Amen.
You'll have to get the money truck to come haul your money to the bank.
Amen.
I didn't know what you call them here. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Glory to God. We've got several of them in the States, Wells Fargo. Oh, hallelujah. The Bank of America, do they have a money car? I never saw that one.
That's in the country.
Well, glory. The Pony Express? Huh? Yeah, but they still a money truck named Pony Express. Carries the money in and carries it out.
Amen.
And they do it with a pistol in their hand.
Amen.
Oh, God. I just throw that in extra for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Things have changed so drastic since I was a boy. I remember when I was just a little old boy. And we've always had preachers at our house because Mama was a pastor. Oh, I don't believe in women preachers. Well, you don't believe in the kingdom then.
That's right.
When David brought the ark back to Zion, he gave the same portion to men and women. They have the same anointing that men have.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Now all you have to do is read that. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 16. That's when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back, set it up, and after the priest got through offering sacrifice, David offered one and divided the meat both to men and women. Well, glory. You don't want me to finish that quote. Because he gave them the same amount of wine. My God. Hallelujah. And the church is afraid to give a thimble full of wine in serving the communion. They want to substitute it with grape juice. Well, glory. I have saw them substitute time and time, and I've done it myself. Because I just didn't want people to grumble. And I didn't want the church to smell like a brewery. Apostle friend of mine, John Robert Stevenson, from Los Angeles. He's dead and gone now. I got more friends on the other side than I got on this side. But I am not longing to go anywhere.
Amen.
I want to stay here and teach.
Yes. Amen.
I want to stay here and teach.
Glory.
I'm teaching something here tonight some of you have never heard. But the abyss is going to be open. And God is raising up a generation that is not going to move them. Well, read some more. Romans 8. We skip and hop so much, yeah. You don't know where I'm at.
Amen. Life nor angels.
Angels. Well, somebody said, angels try to separate you. Well, I read into your hearing the other night, there was evil angels. All preachers are not sent by God.
Amen.
Well, they're sent by God, but they're from the devil. Oh, glory. I've got to tie this one up now. The charismatics brought out a doctrine that the devil or the God don't put no sickness on you. I don't know what Bible they're reading out of. 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, hold your finger in Romans and turn to it. Oh, glory. Hello? Are you still awake?
Yes. Hallelujah.
I was wondering if I was going to be awake before I turned the service over to me, but I was nodding a little, but I'm wide awake now. 15th chapter of Exodus and verse 26.
Amen. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to my voice,
hear what he said,
to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases.
This is God talking.
None of these diseases upon you.
I will put none of these diseases upon you. And all you have to do, diligently seek him, diligently obey his word. Well, how will I know it's the Lord? He will impress you. And, oh, glory to God. I've heard it time and time again. Well, God ain't going to impress me to do something that I can't do. God ain't going to impress you to do anything you can do.
Amen.
Everything God tells you to do, you can't do it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or you think you can't do it.
Right.
But if you will try, you can do it.
Amen.
Suppose God wants to impress you tonight. I better not say that. Impress you tonight to give Brother Andrew $10,000. Well, I can't do that, no. And then the next impression will be from the evil one, and he'll explain it out of context, and you'll miss the blessing.
Amen.
Glorious. It's been a good time to pause and give you an experience we had. My first wife, now that might turn some of you off, I don't know. Because tradition has got divorces all out of context.
That's right.
God ain't even talking about a divorce between a man and his wife. He's talking about grace and law.
Amen. Amen.
Well, glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But anyway, this farmer that I'd preached into the Holy Spirit enlightened him on the baptism, and he received the baptism. His wife called me One night after service, I was in talking to me. She said, God has impressed me tonight to give you $500, but I'm not going to do it. I said, well, that's up to you. I didn't tell you to do it. She said, your wife would spend it on clothes. I laughed and I said, what difference does that make? It wasn't but a very short time till she was in the hospital and I was pastoring in Sarasota, Florida. Doctors had given her up to die. They had lost their farm. They were living in a rented house. You can't violate what God impresses you with and get by. And God had showed her in a vision to call me from Florida to come and pray for her, and said, he said, I will deliver you. I drove all night and up into the day to get there, because it was about, oh, I guess 700 miles or better from Shelby, North Carolina, Sarasota, Florida. And I got to the hospital, she was asleep. And I just eased in. I didn't want to disturb nobody. And I was praying for her with my hands out over. And I was saying, God, we impart life to this sister. Well, God had already showed her a vision that I was imparting life to her. And she woke up. And there I was standing over her, pronouncing life instead of death. And she let out a scream. I'm telling you the truth. It scared me. I fell backwards. I'm in a hospital. And here's a woman screaming to the top of her voice. I fell over. But the children, her children, had called on us to come pray for Mama. And as I was praying for her, she come to, and like I said, and screamed out. And she said, Brother McCurry, they're trying to get me to submit to an operation. But he said, I believe God healed me right now. Well, I said, I called her Mama Smith. I said, Mama Smith, I'll agree with you. Made every one of her kids mad. The doctor went out a stomping. He said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, but I don't know. I'm just serving God. And when the room was cleared, she said, Pastor, what am I going to do? I said, Mom, listen. Me and you going to agree. I agree with you. And we're going to get them to make more x-rays. If the x-rays still show you need an operation, we'll submit to it. But if they don't show, you and I are going to walk out of this hospital hand in hand, hallelujah, as a testimony for God. I called the doctor back in. He got so mad. Ain't no sense in it. I said, well, listen, if you find anything, I'll pay for the x-ray. And if you don't find anything, you pay for it. You just got me over a barrel. I said, no, you're trying to bring us over a barrel. I trust God. Do you trust him? Well, I don't know, but I'll x-ray her. I was sitting in the coffee shop, and all at once, will Reverend McCurry come to the x-ray room speedily? I thought, my God, you know, they probably found something. How many of you know sometimes your faith wavers? Oh, hallelujah. But real faith just stands stands firm like a rock in the middle of a river and makes the water go around it. I went down there and the doctor had her charts, x-rays upon the light, and he said, I've never saw nothing like this in all my life. I said, what do you see? He said, there's nothing to see. This woman has the body of a 25-year-old woman. She's 70. But said there's nothing wrong with her. I said, thank you. We will be leaving. Glory to God, I felt like a giant. Put my arm through her arm, and we marched out of that hospital arm in arm. And we had a time walking because we both felt like skipping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then she said, I've got to ask you to forgive me. I said, but what? Well, God told me to give you $500 and I didn't do it. And the results of it, we've lost everything that we have. And I said, well, I don't hold nothing against you. Count it as paid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She said, I can't do that. Well, I said, I clear your debt with the Lord. Forget it. She said, I can't do that. She said, you've drove all this distance and God's honored your sacrifice and healed me and raised me up. She said, come by my house tomorrow. I went by her house the next day on my way back to Florida. And her husband was sitting in the living room. Never will forget it. Both of them broke down and began to weep. She said, Brother McCurry, it was about 10 years ago that God impressed me to do this. And we have calculated up the interest on it. And God said that wasn't enough. It's good to have God on your side. She said, I'm going to give you this money with interest. And not only that, we're going to buy you a brand new automobile. I want to tell you something. That woman shouted the victory. Amen. For a number of years after that, because she made her mistake right with God.
Amen.
Don't you ever doubt an impression from God.
Amen.
God impresses you, do it.
Yes.
Okay, Brother Bob. Hallelujah. My God. I'm going to finish this, though. If I don't finish this, you are not going to know it. Okay?
Nor principalities.
My God. Principalities. How many of you know what principalities are? Principalities is what hindered Daniel's prayer. Praise God. But they ain't going to move you. They're not going to hinder you. They're not going to part you from the love of God. Well, hallelujah. Okay, let's read some more.
Nor powers.
Powers. Powers of the underworld cannot do anything with you. Praise God. Saints, I don't see how you're sitting there. I tell you, you ought to have your hands up. Your shouter must be stuck.
Hallelujah.
You remember the old-time cars that had points?
Yes.
Come on, how many of you remember that? And sometimes them old points would get stuck. You couldn't crank that car, save your life. You could put a new battery in it, it still wouldn't crank. Why? Points are stuck. And if you ain't shouting right now, praising God, I don't mean getting up and making a lot of noise, because I don't want to preach. But your hands ought to be up waving them, bless God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Because, hallelujah. Power. Power. Oh,
hallelujah.
It's not going to separate you. I tell you the truth. I'm having a time trying to get through with this. I really feel more like shouting than I do preaching.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Well, hallelujah. Okay.
Nor things present, nor things to come.
Do you hear what he's saying? Everything that is present and everything that's coming. They ain't even been invented yet. I'm going to read you another verse when I get through with this. Oh, glory to God. All right.
Nor height.
Anything in height? Single movie. Praise God.
Nor depth.
Ain't nothing in depth in the movie. I got to read this verse to you.
Amen.
1 Corinthians. Oh, glory to God. Some of you might believe this, some of you might not. Third chapter, but get your little spiritual scissors and cut it out of the Bible. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. I believe it's the second. Praise God. Second. I'm still in the first. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. I'm in 2 Corinthians.
Hallelujah.
I think it was in 3. Well, I could quote it, but I'd rather for you to read it. And then you know it's there. Hallelujah. And it's the last 3 verses. Amen. Well, let me go back to first then. And you got to hear this, though. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. Do you have it? 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Now, you've got to read this with Brother Bob. Verse 21 and 22.
Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
I don't like to read it that way, because if I read it that way, I'm giving you all things. Hello? I'd rather read it this way. For all things are mine.
All things are mine.
Come on.
Amen.
How many of you want to read it that way?
Yeah.
For all things are mine. Now that's not changing it. That's not changing it. I'm making it a personal gift of God. You ought to. I mark out things in the Bible and write some other things. If all things are yours, he's writing it to me. He's writing it to you. And you need to put mine in there. Hallelujah. There's a lot of scriptures that is misworded. Well, read them more, Bob.
Whether Paul or Apollos.
Now that knocks out your doctrine if you don't believe anything in death is yours. Paul's dead. Oh, you're getting quiet now. How many of you can say anything Paul had's mine?
Amen.
I stood at Smith Wigglesworth's grave yesterday, my hand on the tombstone, and I said, "Now, God, you no respect to person. You don't love him no more than you love me. Do it again." Cephas, that's Peter.
Or the world?
Anything in this world
is mine.
Ain't going to stop, bless God. Jet airplane, I can't fly one, but I claim it. Amen. I claim it. Well, that's wishful thinking. Hallelujah. When God had nothing to work with, he created everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, you own everything because he said you did. Have glory. I wish there's a highway across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
I'd come over here in my motorhome. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'd be sure to have some hot water.
Yeah.
I haven't had hot water in 2 days. And I told the pastor, I said, "Now, I might go to stinking the third day. I'm not showering in cold water. I'll sponge off, you know, but getting no cold water." Well.
Or life, or death.
Anything in life, anything in death.
Or things present.
Things present.
Are things to come.
Are things to come.
Are all mine.
Are all mine.
Yes.
They're mine.
Yeah, they're mine.
They're mine. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand and let the glory run down your elbow. Just believe. Just believe. What God has just said to us.
Yes.
He did not say, if you work and earn it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I wished I had known this scripture 58 years ago when I was having to walk everywhere I went. And come night, I had to hunt me a place to sleep, and I usually got in a haystack somewhere, tunnel it out, and I'd crawl in and sleep warm at night. Sometimes I'd have to cover myself up with pine needles, wake up the next morning and go to the river or the creek or whatever was near, wash and shave and get as presentable as I could. No need to go. Well, there wasn't no such thing as a McDonald's or a quick food service. If there was, I couldn't go there because I didn't have no money. So I'd walk. I'd find me an apple tree. And I'd sit down under the apple tree and eat and just thank God and just praise Him that He had provided food for me for that time. Well, glory. I remember one time I'd walked for 3 days, nothing to eat, and I was hungry. I said, "Father, your servant's hungry." "I know, son, just a few more miles." 15-20 minutes later, I said, "Father, I'm still hungry." And he said, "Just around the next curve." I couldn't wait to get there. I went around the next curve and look over there under a shade tree, and the beautifulest picnic lunch you have ever saw in your life was spread out on a blanket. And nobody was around. And I just began to shout, "God has prepared me a wonderful lunch." I sat down and eat my fill. And about that time, there's a man and woman come out of the woods. And they said, "Well, you have eat our lunch." I said, "Oh, no, no, there's plenty here for you." And like a fool, I said, "What you been doing in the woods?" They said, "You didn't see that big bull?" I said, "Well, Lord, no, I ain't saw no bull." "Oh, God created a bull. Run them into the woods." And they said to me, said, "That bull stood there while I was eating. And when I got through eating and got up, the bull disappeared." Hallelujah. Saints, hear what I'm telling you. All things are ours. All things are ours. Do you believe it? How many of you believe all things is ours? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I think I need to read over there in the 8th chapter. I need to read just a little bit more.
"Nor any other creature."
My God. Any other creature. That includes the devil and everybody else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll read on now.
"Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Now, if you'll count them, you'll find 17. And 17 is the number of the abyss, and it's being opened up. And how many of you already feel more pressure than you've ever felt before? Come on, how many of you feeling more pressure? We are dealing with things we've never faced before. 2.5 million demons are being released in the Middle East. Where is our problems today? Glory to God. And those tribulation is doing what? Distressing our nation. But it's not having no effect on us.
Amen.
Why? We have the promise. That nothing will separate us from the love of God. Neighbor, hear what I've said to you tonight. God, hallelujah, is not going to open up the abyss until He opens up the windows of heaven. And why is He going to open up the windows of heaven? To counteract all that's coming out of the pit. And we're going to have light in Goshen when darkness is in Egypt. And the plagues of Egypt will not plague us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's people being laid off of their job by the thousands. The economy is in one of the biggest crunches that it's been in years. But it's like I preach whenever the gasoline, and it's going up now too, but when the gasoline was hard to get, I told the people in the assembly at home, you can buy a gas station and still be prosperous.
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I believe it.
Amen.
And I'm not going to regulate my life, glory to God, on some negative action. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. Well, how are you going to do it? I'm going to do it by my giving. Glory to God. And I'm going to do it by sacrificial giving. Oh, hallelujah. Give. And it
shall be.
I didn't hear you.
Shall
be. Oh, glory. Now it says, and men shall give unto you. Men. And men and women are an equal substance. Oh, glory to God. I know you've been sitting a long time. Won't you stand right quick? We're not going to take up a whole lot of time. We've already done that. My God. Quarter to 11. And glory, glory, glory. Brother, bring that big basket over here. Where is that basket? Right here it is. How many of you understand? Every offering I've taken up since I've been here, I have put... What is that?
$100.
I have put $100 in every offering we've taken up. Still got a few. We've got some more services.
That we have. Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you want to come and sow?
Come and sow the seed.
Oh, glory. Now, Brother Cody's went through the word on giving with you. I ain't going to give you no word. I'm just telling you what you got to do. Oh, I thank you, ma'am. Give.
Yeah.
Bring your money and give it to the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, "What do you need?" No, we don't need a thing. The budget's already taken care of, but we're going to keep on giving. We will keep on giving.
Amen.
Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
God wants to bless you. God wants to multiply you. God wants to let your cup run over and your saucer get a blessing. You didn't understand that, did you? The only time your saucer gets blessed is when your cup runs over.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're going to run over the offerings that our saucer can get blessed.
Amen.
Don't block the aisle. Let everybody have free access. Come on down. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Come on down.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God told David to bring the ark back up into Zion, and he found God's pattern, he'd take 10 steps and stop, dance the jig, and give an offering.
Amen.
Now, how many offerings do you think they took up? Hallelujah, every 10 steps. on their way to Zion.
Yeah.
Six paces. That is 9 feet.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Six paces is 9 feet.
You must learn to turn loose what you have to receive what you don't have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Now, are you sitting on a thought that God's put in you, and you God said you give so much and you can't afford it? You can't afford not to.
Amen.
Can't afford not to. Glory to God. Brother Tommy Hicks and I was in a it wasn't Tommy Hicks, it was Brother Fuquay, ahead of Brother T.L. Osmond's research plan. You know, these guys has teams that do research for them. Brother Fuquay was on the team of research, and he is ministering that night. I drove up from Florida, and God said, I want you to give everything you've got on you, give it. My wife said, well, are we going to get home? I said, Dad, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I woke up and gave everything I had on me in the offering. And then I walked down to the water fountain and was going to get some drink of water and go to the bathroom. And here come five individuals. Four of them was ladies and one of them was a man. And they didn't say nothing to me, but I felt them putting things in my pocket. I pulled it out, and it was $800. I run up that quick and get it into the offers.
Amen. Yeah.
And the next morning, I told my wife, look in my coat pocket. Why? I said, something in there. And she opened my pocket and pulled out $1,000. I don't know how much I'd give into that all, but I'll guarantee you I had enough money to get home.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Praise God.
I want you to understand that these offerings has been good, but nothing like what they ought to have been. Mm-hmm. If everybody in here would give $100 apiece, the rest of the services, we'd be blessed.
Amen.
You'd be blessed.
Amen.
Well, how many more services are there? Four? Huh?
Three. We got three.
Well, tomorrow's two.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have one on Friday?
No, two on Friday.
Oh, tomorrow's Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
No, Thursday.
Two Thursday, two Friday. That makes four.
Four. That's right. Yeah.
No, it's one tomorrow.
No, two tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow
and
morning.
Two Friday.
Yeah,
that's four. Can you scrape up $400? Ah, oh, glory to God.
All things are ours.
I know it.
Amen.
But you see, you have to confess that.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Well, glory. I'll turn it over to you. Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
How many of you believe that God is doing something He's never done before?
Amen. He is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Don't think that you have it to give. Say, Lord, the next amount of money that comes to me from an unexpected source, I will put it in the offering. Hello? Will you do that? Hallelujah. And you watch what God will do. Yeah. I want to say it again because some of you are not listening.
Come on, listen. Oh. Hear ye the word of the Lord.
Listen.
Listen.
Yeah. My wife and I have done this many times. we want to give, but we just you can't lay your hands on it at the time. So we said, Lord, the next amount of money that comes to us from an unexpected source, we'll give to you. And we've had as much as several thousand dollars just come in like that. And the temptation will be, hello,
yeah,
to keep back. No, you give the lot.
Amen.
You give the lot. Right. Hallelujah. And you watch God, what God will do for you. Brother McCurry told you the story, how he walked hungry. How God told him to put everything in the offering. Muriel and I were separated. We went to a missionary service in Sydney. And she was sitting in one part of the hall, I was in the other. The Lord spoke to me and said, give everything you've got in your pocket and put it in the offering. And I thought, but Lord, this is my fare money to work tomorrow, my lunch money, and it's also my fares to get home. Put everything you got. I thought, I'll borrow from Muriel. Well, we meet Muriel on the steps of the church. We're way down near Circular Quay. We lived out in the outer western suburbs. And I said to Muriel, I'm going to have to borrow some money from you, love. She said, why? Well, I said, the Lord told me to put everything in the offering. And I thought, well, I'll borrow it from you. She laughed. She said, the Lord told me to put everything in the offering too. And I thought I'd borrow from you. Here we are standing, no transport home, going to have to walk 10 miles. I had visions of us walking down the tram lines, you know, walking home about 10 o'clock at night. A couple pull up in a pickup at the bottom of the church steps. Hello, Ron. Hello, Muriel. Oh, hi, so-and-so. So we come down. And they said, where are you going? We said, well, we're going home. They said, where do you live? We said, we live in Five Dock. Oh, well, we live in Petersham. We'll take you on to Five Dock. Hop in the back. It took us home. We've never seen that couple from that day to this. But I had no money to get to work tomorrow. We didn't like to borrow from Muriel's mother-in-law, Nana Fleming. So, as I went to the clothes closet, the wardrobe, we have wardrobes, and I pulled the wardrobe door open on my side, I saw a blue note sticking out from under the pajamas. I pulled it out. It was folded in three. A brand new 5 pound note.
Amen.
And if it was 5 pounds in those days, that was a week's wages for many people. And I said to Muriel, did you put this here? No. I said, perhaps Flo put it there. That's what we called Nana, Flo. Oh, Mum wouldn't do that. So next morning, Muriel said, Mum, did you put 5 pound in Ron's side of the wood? 5 pounds? Where would I get 5 pounds? An angel put it there.
Amen.
You know that wardrobe is still in our family. And so I tell everybody that story and show them the spot where God put that 5 pounds.
Amen.
This is our God. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say,
Lord.
Say, Lord,
Lord,
the next amount of money,
that comes to me
from an unexpected source,
I will put it in the offering.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just want to confirm that. I think it was the first time I came to GC's church, and Greg brought out that $50,000.
$57,000.
Well, right, $57,000. And whilst you were sharing the vision, God spoke to me and said, give $1,000. And I said, okay, God, I don't have $1,000, but when I get home, I'll make arrangements and I'll get $1,000. Well, I mean, I didn't go to receive anything. And he kept saying, the people putting money in the offering for you. And I'm like, why? And it was a privilege to share the word with them. And there was a gift at the end that came to Grace and I, and it was $1,000. And I thought, you know, there's the temptation.
Yeah.
You can walk away with that.
Yeah.
And I thought, there's the $1,000. And I was able to put that back and plant that straight back into that building project.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Straight away. You know, I thought, fantastic. What an opportunity.
But when he stood up and made that pledge, I'm going to give $1,000. I was the next one. Then they started
standing up
all over the place. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And here's $57,000 laying all over the floor. Because we asked him, open up that sash. I said, have you ever seen $57,000? He said,
in cash.
In cash, yeah.
In cash. This was all in cash.
Yeah.
$100 bills. And in a big black sash. And when he opened that up, because it all fell out in bundles. Hallelujah. And this man had driven from Florida, up from Florida, carrying $57,000 in his car with him, with nobody else with him but Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, saints, this was his dream for years. And now, when you come over there, you'll see it.
Yeah.
And now the rest of it. Hallelujah. The other 3 acres.
Amen.
Other 3 acres. And I believe before this year is out, you'll have at least 4 units up.
I believe it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let's say something.
Yeah.
I was having dinner after preaching with Brother A. Alley. And, you know, I didn't want to be odd. And they was ordering the biggest steaks that they could order. Well, I'm sitting there with a $10 bill. That's all money I had. And I ordered a steak just like the rest of them. Brother Allen looked me in the eyes and said, Brother McCurry, that $10 bill you got in your pocketbook, God has just turned it into $100. I said, what? He said, look, I jerked my pocketbook out immediately. I had $100 bill in my pocketbook.
Amen.
Praise God. Some of you will be opening up your wardrobes tonight and looking in your handbags and your purses. Hallelujah.
You'll find the multiplication.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.